Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was once a very religious man who was caught in a flood, and the waters began to rise. And he said, "Lord, please save me from this flood." And soon someone came along, a neighbor came past in his canoe and said, "Jump in the canoe and I'll take you to safety with my canoe." And the religious man said, "No thanks. I have talked to God, I have prayed to him, and I am confident that he will save me." And the water continued to rise, and he ended up on the roof of his house. And a police boat came by, and they said, "Get in, we'll take you to safety." He said, "No, I have prayed to God, and God will save me. I'm confident of that." And the waters continued to rise, and pretty soon there's nothing left but the very peak of his roof, and he's standing on it. And a helicopter comes by, and the helicopter drops a ladder down and says, "Climb the ladder, get in, we'll take you to safety." And the man said, "I have prayed to God, and I'm confident that God will send me some help and save me." Well, as you might imagine, the waters continued to rise, and the man died. And when he got to heaven, he's pretty upset. He goes, "I want to talk to God." So they escort him into God. He said, "God, I prayed to you. I asked you to save me, and here I am in heaven. Why did that happen? You didn't hear my prayer. You didn't answer my prayer." God looked at him and said, "Yes, my child, I heard your prayer. I answered your prayer. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter, and you refused to take advantage of any one of them." Last week, we heard about Jesus promising to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Today, we celebrate that coming of the Holy Spirit. All of the pyramids are in red today, which represents the Holy Spirit. Today, we hear those words that we hear every year about the disciples being in Jerusalem and waiting for the Holy Spirit. It was about the time of the Pentecost, a festival, a celebration of the first harvest of the year. And so people from around the world came to Jerusalem to bring their offerings. And the disciples are waiting, and one morning about 9 o'clock, there's this sudden rushing of wind and what appears to be tongues of fire that come down and land upon or rest upon the heads of all of the then apostles. And by the power of that Holy Spirit, these men begin to speak in the languages of all of those people who were gathered there. That had never happened before. It was a miracle that that sort of thing happened. So, what about this story? What does it mean to us? Well, a little background here might be helpful. In the very earliest celebrations of the Pentecost, farmers would bring their crops to the temple, and they would bring their basket and give it to the priest, and there would be a little ritual that they would go through, a little rite that they would go through. And they would recite words from Deuteronomy. And they would have to recite those words in Hebrew. Now, that was not a problem when all of the Jews lived in Jerusalem and everybody spoke the same language. But after the exile, people were scattered around the world, and now when they came back to Jerusalem, they didn't speak Hebrew. And so as the priests would be receiving their offerings, they would have to lead the people kind of verse by verse so that they would say those words from Deuteronomy in the Hebrew language, which was the required language of the day. Well, that got to be pretty embarrassing for a lot of people from foreign lands, and so they stopped coming. And so what the priest did is said, okay, rather than make each individual come up and repeat that phase with us, we'll have everyone do it at the same time so that they can speak in our language. And so that's what they did. But now here we have the day of Pentecost, when there were all of the Jews from all around the world there in Jerusalem. And they didn't speak Hebrew. what do the disciples do? They speak in the language of all of the people who came from around the world. That's why that got to be such a big deal. That's why it was such a big day, because rather than make people speak the language of Hebrew, it was the apostles who are now reaching out to the world speaking in their own language. Well, I found that kind of interesting. You may not. But it kind of helps us understand the significance of what it meant for the disciples to speak in the languages of those people who came from other parts of the world. So, what does this text then do or say for us or to us? We certainly don't speak any foreign languages, certainly not Hebrew. But yet here we hear of the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven in the form of a flame of fire. I think maybe if we're really honest, we have to admit that we're not really sure that the presence of the Holy Spirit really is here. It seems to me that we Lutherans, and I've been raised a Lutheran my whole life, we're just not sure about this Trinity guy. I think being kind of pragmatic people, we say, you know, I think I'd rather go to the top guy and talk to him, or maybe his son, but I'm not so sure about this third person of the Trinity. So I thought to myself, why do you suppose that is? I did some research and I came up with at least a possible idea. Around the beginning of the 20th century, there was a Pentecostal movement, and the people of the Pentecostal movement took this text for today and they interpreted it to mean that if anyone was a good Christian, they too could speak in foreign languages, in tongues, as they referred to them. And some people may do that, I don't know. I've never heard anyone speak in tongues per se. But Lutherans have never taken that position. We're not comfortable standing with our hands like that. I mean, it's okay for the pastor to bless us this way. It's okay for him to do this, but for us to sit in the pew and hold our hands up like that, we're just not comfortable with that. We're not comfortable with the idea of people speaking in tongues. We're uncomfortable with loud and boisterous services. I came across a little story that I thought was kind of interesting about a Pentecostal pastor who went around the country conducting revival services. And before each service, he'd find some young boy who he could pay to climb up into the rafters with a cage that contained a dove. And so he would tell the little boy, "When I say, 'Come down, Holy Spirit,' I want you to release that dove." And so he would get up and make his presentation and talk about perhaps hellfire and brimstone, I don't know. And at the last of his sermon, he would say, "Come down, Holy Spirit," and the little boy would release the dove, and people were impressed. It would be a great object lesson. Well, that worked well until one time he said at the end of his sermon, "Come down, Holy Spirit," and nothing happened. And he said once more, "Come down, Holy Spirit," and the only voice that could be heard was that of the little boy, who said, "Sir, a yellow cat has just grabbed the Holy Spirit and eaten him. Should I throw down the yellow cat?" So you might understand that we're not comfortable with things of that nature. But I wonder, in that not really paying close attention to the Holy Spirit, not feeling comfortable with that, might we be ignoring what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us? How might that be today? We all want this congregation to grow. But how have we responded to some of the things that have come along in the last few years. I've heard responses like this: they can't possibly know that. I don't believe in that stuff. That won't work here. We've tried that and it didn't work before. So let me ask you this: where is the Holy Spirit in the life of this congregation? Where's the Holy Spirit in your life? Consider this analogy. The water supply for the city of New York lies in several reservoirs in the upstate northern part of the state. And the water is carried from those reservoirs down to every faucet in New York City by some aqueducts. All the people have to do is open their faucet, and that water comes all the way, hundreds of miles, I guess, comes to them in that faucet. God has a great reservoir of love for us. It's just waiting for us. And it's the Holy Spirit that acts as those aqueducts that brings that love to us. It's that Holy Spirit that makes us Christians. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us His grace and His forgiveness in the sacraments that we will receive today. And so my prayer for us here today is this: let us not be afraid to open the faucet and let the Holy Spirit shine God's love into each of our lives. Let us not be afraid to open that faucet and let the Holy Spirit pour God's love and care and concern into this congregation. Let us not be afraid to open that faucet. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.